Brother Pablo has the scripture reading for us today. It's a very wonderful, beautiful passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's going to read you 19 verses out of 1 Corinthians 12. Please do pay very careful attention to what the apostle says.
The word of God on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 19 says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to the dumb idols, whoever you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all, who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, what would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all members, where would the body be? If they were all one member, where would the body be?
Thank you, Father, for your wonderful word. We ask you, Lord, now through your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts, encourage us, strengthen your body. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. There's a song in the book of Judges that's known as the Song of Deborah. You know Deborah. And it's a song that was sung in celebration of a stunning victory over a Canaanite king. King's name is Jabin. His general Sisera, maybe you remember the story of how Jael, a woman, killed Sisera. But the Song of Deborah starts like this: "When the people willingly offer themselves, praise ye the Lord." When the people willingly offer themselves, praise ye the Lord. And you know that the alarm for battle had gone out to the tribes, come out and fend off the Lord's enemies. And the book of Judges says that 10,000 men of Israel responded. You can imagine sort of grabbing their swords out of the closet, you know, grabbing their weapons off the wall, and they assembled and they went out to face the enemy and they won the day. Okay, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise ye the Lord. Now, we've just read our church covenant together, and I would suppose that something might have caught your attention as we read, and that was the repeated phrase, we engage. Okay, we engage is an expression, isn't it, of voluntary commitment. These people who, as the language there says, enter into covenant with one another, are doing just this, right? Willingly offering themselves, right? This is just what Romans encourages us to do, isn't it? Offer yourselves. Offer yourselves living sacrifices. Just as Isaiah said, Lord, here I am. Here I am. We engage too. And as I said, it's good for us. It's necessary, I think, for us on a regular basis. And so we do so once a year to come back to this point to remind ourselves, what does our voluntary participation in this body of believers entail, both as to its privileges and to its responsibilities. Okay, it's ceremonially we do this, right? We say aloud, as you might say aloud if you took an oath of office, or you might say it aloud if you took an oath to be seated on a jury or enlist in the army. Okay, we say aloud what we promise to do. Okay, as we begin this new year, I dare say in high hopes of the Lord's blessing upon our efforts, we come back to this point. We want to reaffirm a couple of basic truths about the nature of our fellowship. And we intend that each one of us, me and you, before God in this assembly, that's what we said, that we resolve to apply those truths, each one of us to him or herself individually, for each one of you to say to yourself, this is my particular place in the fellowship. Okay, for each one of us to say to the Lord, here I am. 1 Corinthians 12 is one of the key passages of Scripture that deals with this topic. In fact, I think it's just about impossible to really get a good grasp on what the Christian life is apart from this passage of Scripture. Okay, we need to recognize, each of us needs to recognize himself and his congregation in terms of this body with many members metaphor, this illustration that Paul gives us. I think it's impossible, really, to live the Christian life apart from a good understanding of this chapter. And why is that? It's because Christ's great commandment, isn't it, to his children, that they love one another. Amen. That's his great commandment. It was his great request to the Father in the upper room prayer about his future disciples. What was his great request? That they be one. Father, as you are in me and as I am in you. Okay, Paul's text in this chapter, in my opinion, it's terrifically helpful for visualizing, conceptualizing, what is the nature of your relationship to me, my relationship to you, your relationship to the other people here, okay? How are Jesus' disciples best to fulfill what's clearly stated his heart's desire? Okay, that his clearly stated heart's desire is that his disciples love one another, that they be one as you and I, Father, are one. So I just want to make a couple of observations from this passage and then ask. I want each of you to really seriously ask, what are the implications for me, myself, as to the other people in this room with me? Okay, here's the word of God. This is the will of God for my life as I'm presently living it. And I got to say to the Lord, speak, your servant is listening. Okay, are we listening to the Lord? And I also, you know, I just want to see as we go through that how the ideas expressed in this passage of Scripture are just kind of distilled into our covenant. You know, our covenant is you know, it's not Scripture, but you can see that it's just a distilled down, it's a more concise summary of the New Testament doctrine of the church and the role of the believer in it. Okay, so first observation I want you to make, and it's kind of right there on the surface of this passage, these concepts that come up again and again through the passage that we read are, if you like, pairs of words, like complementary pairs of words, like each and all. Okay, do you see what I mean? It's a complementary pair of words. There's one and many. There's diverse, but same. Okay, and as you read through this text, you see that pop up over and over and over again, and these ideas just sort of like orbit around each other. Okay, verse 12 and 13, let's look at that. For as the body is one body, and has many members, okay, those two ideas are joined together. The body is one, has many members, but all the members of that one body, though many, they are one body. So also is Christ, okay? He's drawing us an illustration. He says this is how we want to visualize your place in Christ. Verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we were all one, all. We are all baptized into one body, no matter who you are, okay? Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, slave or free, whoever you are, we have all been made to drink into one and only one Spirit of God. See how it keeps bouncing back and forth between the one and the whole and the parts, right? The team and the teammate, the same way Peter, for example, talks about the building and the stone, right? There's a stone, there's the house, there's the temple, there's the building block of the temple, okay? This is one of those, what I said, basic truths about the nature of the Christian life, about the Christian fellowship. Okay, this is one of those basic truths. Look in verse 4, back up to verse 4. There are diversities, let's say varieties, of gifts. Everybody's different, right? There's varieties of, let's say, I think maybe a better word actually is graces. There is a variety of graces or grants, okay? The Holy Spirit grants you something. Okay, there are diversities or varieties of graces, but the same one Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, service, but there is one and the same Lord who binds us together. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all of them in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, okay, in other words, the way he shows himself through you, particularly the manifestation of the Spirit, it's given to each one for the profit of all. Okay, you see how those ideas just keep coming up, both pairs, if you like. So clearly all of this pertains to the issue of church participation, doesn't it? Okay, or I should say congregational membership. Now, we use the term church member, all right? This is a very common term that you hear in churches, but it's not like some other kind of club member. When you talk about church member, that term carries a lot of theological weight, a lot of biblical significance along with it, because it relates to this picture, okay? Member does not equate to simply having your name on a list in a book, okay? Biblically speaking, member involves all of the give and take of organic integration into this one single unit, okay? The way that a part of your body is laced together, it's interwoven together by sinews and tendons, and there's nerves flowing through, there's blood vessels flowing through, okay? It's, you can identify it as a part, but you don't detach it. Understand, it's one single unit. A hand or a leg or an ear or an eye is organically joined to the rest of the body. So you can think of your body as a list of parts. You can think of your body as an assembly, if you like, but you can't disassemble it. I mean, when you go to bed at night, you don't disassemble your body and sort of lay the parts on the different shelves and say, you know, I'll put myself back together in the morning, okay? It's, you say in its assembly, but it's a unit, okay? Assembly assumes some assembly is required, but, okay, it's together and it stays together. This is God's will for the church. Can we agree on that much?
Yes.
Okay? This is what the Bible does teach, right? I'm not making something up. This isn't news. It's pretty plain from the passage of that this is God's will for the church. This is what you say yes to when you become a member of the church. You see that it's a significantly, it's intended to be a significantly richer and deeper kind of relationship than, well, this is where I go when I go. You know, I like some of the people there, but I'm not that invested. So I'll give you a counter example. That's how I am like with football. It's interesting. I know there's an important game today. I'll probably watch it. It doesn't affect my life. Honestly, I don't care all that much. If I root for somebody, I'll root for the Eagles. You know, I kind of, during the season, keep half an ear open to how are they doing so that I can sort of pretend to hold up my end of the conversation if it should come up. Okay, last year I watched the NFC Championship game and I watched the Super Bowl and I was glad that they won. Honestly, I was really glad that they won. But I'm an occasional fan, right? I am a shallow fan of the, okay? And like I said, when it comes to the regular season, I don't, unless I'm like super bored, I don't turn on the TV and like spend a couple of hours watching the Eagles. You know who's really happy that the Eagles won the Super Bowl? The people who follow the team week by week through thick and thin, even when they're terrible. You know, they're hoping for the team. You know, they've got their opinions. They know who they should trade for, okay? They know their stuff. You share in the sufferings, you share in the glory, right? Me, I just show up for the Super Bowl and I was happy they won. Participation in the body of Christ, okay, you see, it's supposed to be the opposite of this kind of remote, on again, off again, I'm sort of there, I'm sort of not, warm and cold, I'm in it, but I'm not really in it, relationship, okay? You say yes to certain questions. Questions like, will you commit yourself to this body of believers to walk together in the faith, in the fellowship of Christian love, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, members one of another to the glory of God? You say yes to that. Will you be loyal to this church, attending her meetings, sustaining her worship? Her worship, we're here to worship God, submitting to her discipline and upholding her doctrines. People stand up here and say into the microphone, yes, I will. Will you use the talents and the resources of which God has made you the steward to support the church's ministries and missions? People say yes. Okay, will you study the Word of God? People say yes to that question. And will you pray for yourself and for the church? Okay, you're supposed to answer yes to that question until we all grow in the knowledge, likeness, and love of Christ, until we each stand perfect and complete in Him. And then they ask the rest of everybody the question, will you commit yourselves to person X in Christian fellowship, members one of another, to nourish and be nourished, to pray for them, mourn with them, rejoice with them, so that we may all, there's that word, we may all grow in the knowledge, likeness, and love of Christ until we each stand perfect and complete in Him. Okay, you see that we have privileges and we have responsibilities. Okay, this is a new perspective, isn't it? As with everything else in the Christian life, I'm supposed to start thinking in a new way. What pleases the Savior who gave His life for me, rather than what pleases me. what's going to bring him gladness and honor and joy? Okay, and we heard it right from his own mouth. What does he want? That they may be one, Father, as you and I are one. That you'd love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so it should be absolutely crystal clear that Christianity itself means membership. It means participation. The old self with its self-oriented, me-focused wants and goals is to be put to one side. And the new self is put on with its renewed mind, its renewed focus, now a new focus on the body and the body's mission and what's good for the building up of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is actually about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But do you see the play of the two, interplay of the two kinds of thoughts? Each in all of their varieties, one. Okay? One whole. Different parts, the same Lord, same Spirit, same body, same purpose. Okay? Each one should think no longer in terms of I, me, mine. We need to start thinking in terms of we and us and ours. What are our goals going to be this year? Okay, and not just what does the pastor want to do this year? Okay, the pastor is one member. What are our goals this year? Even when I think in terms of I'm still to be relating in that to the us, right? What can I do to help out the us? What can I do to strengthen up the body? What contribution will I, in my uniqueness, with my variety of abilities and resources, what contribution am I going to make to the team effort? Okay, and again, don't forget about the he, him, and his, right? The only reason we have a us is because of him, right? This is all about him. And I start setting aside the things that I want in order to serve him. Okay, we are all in this together to serve him, to give him a good reputation. So that's the second basic truth, which is assumed right from the beginning of this chapter, that salvation is a person, right? It's not a creed, it's a person. Salvation is Jesus Christ, am I right? Salvation is found in one person alone. Okay, all of this topic, all of this notion about fellowship is founded on and grounded on Jesus Christ. Before we knew him, this subject had nothing to do with us, right? It's a nonstop. Okay, you don't talk about the body unless you talk about Christ. Okay, so you see in verse 2, if you look back in your text, it says basically once you were led astray, you were out there, okay, however it was you were led, but you were outside of Christ. That was once. And this whole subject of the body had nothing to do with you particularly, okay? You were carried off to your dumb idols, whatever other loves it was that you had, and however you ended up there. But now, okay, and this is what our covenant says, now you've been led by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? Once you were led astray to whatever dumb idols, but now this one Spirit who baptizes every member into the one body has led you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I mean, to go off on a tangent, then if you're here today and you have not been led to receive the Lord, you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, and you haven't, as our covenant says, confessed him in baptism, this is kind of a moot conversation then, for now, as far as you're concerned, because you're not in Christ, are you? Presently, you're on the outside, you may be looking in, but you're not in Christ. It's by such a profession of faith, it's by public testimony, by a pledge of allegiance to Jesus Christ. I offer myself to you to be my Lord. That's how you're joined to the body. And of course, Paul is only speaking here to those who are actually joined organically and vitally to Jesus Christ. Okay? But you can know this much. If you're not joined to Jesus Christ, you can know this much. You're being led, aren't you? Okay? The Holy Spirit is leading you. Maybe you can't say, I've been led to receive Jesus Christ, but he is leading you. So why don't you submit? And are you willing to submit and to go where Christ is leading you to be joined to the body of Christ? Okay. But for those of us who have, as we said in our covenant, we have been led to receive him, we have to know this. The act of salvation, okay, God's work of salvation entails our enduring personal commitment to what you would call life in him. In him. Okay, salvation is in him. Leave all and follow me. Live in me. Abide in me. Right? Those are his words. Abide in me. And I in you. There's no salvation outside of this, is there? Outside of abiding in Christ. All of our hopes of heaven and of eternal life are contingent upon that point, abiding in Christ. Hope for all the things of the future is in vain unless allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ has been pledged and rendered. Are you with me? Okay. I assume that when you came to Christ, that you didn't present yourself to him against your own free will, did you? You chose. Okay. You came to Christ on the understanding that he would give you all of the good promises of God if you would leave all and follow him. And those of you who were baptized into Christ, you died to sin, you died to the world, you were raised to newness of life. Is that true? Is it true of you? The Lord said, arise, my beloved, come away with me. Do you see, it's difficult to see how a person can be said to participate in Christ unless there's actual participation and involvement in a local body of believers. That's who's in him. Okay? This is where Christ dwells. And so the covenant says, because we've been led to receive Christ, therefore we gladly and solemnly enter into covenant with one another, because this is where God appoints his people to be. This is his will for us, for me, and for everyone that the Holy Spirit draws to Christ. And I say that I do it joyfully. I joyfully pledge myself to you and to him in covenant, because I know this is the will of God. This is obedience. This is where he wants me to abide. Okay? And that's why even the last part of the covenant says that if I move, well, I'll find some Christians there and I'll join myself to them, because I know this is what God wants from each believer, to be part of a body so that they can walk and grow together. The Christian life is by its very nature assembly life, okay? Togetherness. And so just as a closing observation, a third one, we need to see how Paul speaks to anybody in the body who feels that they may be unimportant or disengaged or out of place. You know how sometimes Christians feel a misfit, they feel awkward, they feel less than important, not so useful. See how Paul assures each person very firmly they are not dispensable. Okay, they are necessary to the body. Every single member of the body is critically important and cannot be done without. Okay, look, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't feel like I'm really part of the body. Okay, I'm not part of the body. It is part of the body. He said, absolutely, it's part of the body. Okay, when churchgoers refrain from, what did it say? When the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, amen. What happens if each of those Israelites says, well, I'm just one man, you know, they'll get along fine without me. Who am I? How can I possibly contribute? Okay. Do you know what happens then to the army? The army goes down to defeat. The cause of Christ is weakened. when people say, I'm not important enough, I'm not going to make my contribution. Okay, the church is disabled, the other parts of the body are overtaxed, sooner or later, the body drops from exhaustion. Okay, every single member of the body, and the more the better. The more the better, okay? Each one's share makes the whole thing operate more effectively, okay? So it's critical, and I have to, I can't speak to each of you individually, but it's what I'm saying to you. It's important that you lay hold of what the scripture teaches and start to reckon yourself accordingly. Don't listen to the devil tell you that you're less than important. Start to reckon yourself as an absolutely vital member of the body, okay, a valuable member, an indispensable part, okay? Too many people say, the church is going to get along fine without me. The church is going to continue okay whether I show up or not. It won't. It just won't. It can't. And by that kind of attitude, you contradict the scriptures, which say that when the Holy Spirit drew you to Christ, He gave you these graces, right? He gave you, verse 7 says, for the benefit of all, for the profit of all. Okay, the Holy Spirit had an others-oriented goal in mind when He selected you, when He called you. If you like, He gave you a custom-made pack of graces, custom-made to fit you into place right here. Okay, the verse 11 says He distributes these graces to each one as He sees fit, because He has a certain aim, and that is to build up and to strengthen and to edify the whole body. Okay, He needs you in your spot. People complain and they moan and groan that the influence of the church is subsiding in society. You know why that is? It's because the individuals in the churches don't see themselves as necessary members, as indispensable contributing members. People see themselves as optional, inessential, detachable. Well, you start detaching parts from the body, pretty soon the body can't do anything. Okay? Just because I'm not a hand doesn't make me not part of the body. Yes, you are part of the body. The Word of God says that God has been working in you, has been working in each and every person, has granted you qualities, abilities, a testimony to fit you into place so that you can bless others. Okay, verse 18 says, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Okay, so the privilege of church membership, the privilege of participation in Christ is to be a recipient, to be on the receiving end of all of the graces that God gave all these other people to bless you with. That's the privilege. Everything that the Holy Spirit has blessed others with, you receive. The corresponding responsibility is then for you to share your spiritual graces with others. Okay? We engage to do certain things. Now, I told you, hold that thought when we sang the song. Mercy drops around us are falling. Drops. Understand? It's a thirsty, dry ground. And like little sprinkles have fallen on it. Do you understand where I'm going? The ground is thirsty. The crop is struggling. We have seen a little bit of the Lord's blessing, a drop here and there. We give God thanks for those. But for the showers, we plead. We want the Lord to rain down His blessings. We plead. We need. We yearn for the Lord to do many good things through our church, but the blessings flow when the people are united in one accord. That opens the door of heaven to blessing. When the people are united, when they love one another, when they are one, as Christ and the Father are one, that's when the showers of blessing are going to fall. I want you to take your bulletin home, take the covenant, And I want you to look through it phrase by phrase in light of this scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. And I want you to speak to the Lord in prayer. You do it. Speak to the Lord in prayer about what you have agreed to do for him, participating in your church family. We engage to worship together. We engage to contribute cheerfully and regularly. We engage to spread the good message. We engage to maintain family devotions. We engage to pray for one another.
Amen.
We engage to watch over one another, to admonish and to receive admonition. We engage to maintain peace with one another. All of that is so that with one heart and one mind, we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and complete his mission to reclaim and renew souls in the city of Bridgeton. That's his mission. That's his will. This is where God has planted it. And the scripture says he put the members in the body just where he wanted them to be. Pray for the peace of Bridgeton. I know the psalm says Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Bridgeton. May those who love it prosper. Peace be within your borders. Prosperity within your towers. For the sake of our neighbors and companions, I will now say, peace be within you, O Bridgeton. For the sake of the house of our God, I will seek its good. When the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. He's going to win a mighty victory. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Strengthen us. Call us upward in Christ Jesus. Send us forth in his name. May we do your good will, Lord. May we truly love one another as we ought to do. Thank you, Lord, for our friends and companions in Christ. We ask that you would add to our number through your Holy Spirit. Call, purify, glorify. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.